John chapter 1. Has been a great place to spend the weekend. I'm thankful to each of you and your hospitality. Show of love to each of us who have been blessed of God to share this time with you. And we look forward to the Lord willing. And does not come get us. Maybe some of you come visit us Labor Day weekend. And we'd be honored to have you there at that time. John chapter 1 and beginning with verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." The subject that has been assigned me is being thankful for God's grace. Of all the words in the Bible, in the English language, I suppose I do not know of any word that is so filled with love and caring as the word grace. It means much more than just love because it carries with it at love in action. It is much deeper than mercy. Mercy is a beautiful word and a word that we rejoice in and thank God for. But mercy is God's wrath being withheld for a season. And grace is God's love and benefits being bestowed instead of mercy, which is deserved. It is a blessed and a perfect thing. Grace, in its true and pure sense, can be found only in God. In the Bible, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, the word declares that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And this is the first and only source of true grace is from God. God is the only one. What grace that man may show one to another is the reflection that is left in the image that we were made in the likeness of God. It is that which shows up in us. The grace of God, or God's grace, is a very selective thing. By that I mean that God's grace is sovereign. And that it is bestowed only upon and for the blessings of His elect people. His mercy is upon all of His creation, and the witness thereof is that rain falls upon the just and the unjust, and He giveth to all life and breath, and they have blessings in this way upon this earth. But these mercies that God has bestowed upon the totality of mankind must never be mistaken for grace. For to presume upon the grace of God is a grave mistake with eternal consequences and certainly one to be feared. To rely upon and trust and know the grace of God is joy unspeakable and full of glory. The reality of it is that the most important question concerning God's grace is, do you know it and have you been blessed to experience it personally in your life? Has God in His grace moved upon you in power and drawn you effectually unto His Son? If not, then I pray that God may grant unto you repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, and that it shall come by His grace. And it is only after we have tasted of the Lord's grace that we can truly appreciate and be thankful for the grace of God. And even when that has been bestowed in our life, it is a microscopic amount of the reality of the totalness of the grace of God that He has bestowed upon us. For the reality that everything that we have to be thankful for as children of God who have been saved by His grace, the reality of it is that grace is the thing that we should most be thankful for the truth lies that it is from His grace that we have every other blessing. God's grace touches every avenue of our lives, everything that we do and say, everywhere that we go, each thing that we receive, all that we shall ever have, and etc., comes to us not by merit on our part, but by the grace and through the grace of God Almighty. For every good and perfect gift comes down from above from the Father of lights, and it is not bestowed by debt, but it is by grace that we have all that we have in our eternal God. While we can never truly appreciate God's grace, for I am convinced that the eternal bliss of heaven itself, we will never be able sufficiently to offer praise and worship unto Him for the grace that was shown us in this life. But while we can never really appreciate it, God help us to meditate upon the grace of God and be thankful therefore. The first thing that I would mention concerning the grace of God that we should be thankful for is what I have termed God's planning grace. This began before the first ray of sunlight ever came upon this planet Earth, before a blade of grass ever pushed through the soil, before ever an angel flapped a wing, before ever Adam breathed the first breath. There was the grace of God in the planning stages of what we know as creation. And my dear friends, everything that there is visible and invisible and everything that ever shall be was in the plan of God in grace for us, and it was all working even before the beginning together for our good, and it was done so by His grace. He made plans that involved us and concerned us and would touch us in time that spanned the eternalness of God Himself. And it was His grace that moved Him to bring this creation we know of earth together and to place the perfection that there is in it and to cause mankind to have the blessings and the privilege to inhabit this earth for a span of time and then to return one blessed day when there is a new earth and a new heaven in which will dwell righteousness, and His grace is going to permit that we live here and enjoy this earth as He planned the creation thereof, and eternity shall we rejoice in God's planning grace therein. We take so much for granted and never even consider the absolute perfection that God had in the work of creation. My dear friends, this was not a mere afterthought, but our God in absolute perfection created every molecule and every life form and every mineral and everything that there is. We live in an orderly universe, and it is ordered for our good by the grace of God. My dear friends, His grace planned the events in our life, and they touched them, and they are brought about in harmony with His predestinated plan, and we can rejoice in His planning grace that was bestowed upon us ere before the world was. But we also must be thankful for God's purpose and grace, or a purpose and grace. This deals with God's purpose, in my mind at least, to save a multitude which no man could number. Oh, my dear friends, God planned a creation. And God planned the human race. And God planned redemption. God planned and purposed in this all and controlled it all. And our God could have. You know, I don't like to get into too much could-haves or ifs with God. I really don't. Because I don't think God deals with what He could have done or what if it had happened. But our God rules upon everything. And in His grace, He purposes the events that come to pass in our life. And He rules therein. But God's purpose and grace is summed up some in Romans 9 and verse 11. Where the Bible declares there, speaking of Jacob and Esau, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, understand this, God had a purpose, and this purpose was centered in grace. Now listen, that the purpose of God, according to election, God purposed election. Election was not an afterthought when man fell, but it was the purpose of God to elect the people unto salvation. And His purpose was to accomplish all that was involved in the salvation thereof. That the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. Now, my dear friends, also in Romans 11 and verse 5, we read something more about this election, and that this purpose in election was according to God, but it was also of grace. In Romans 11:5, even so then at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Now God's purpose in election was to save. And this was by grace. This election was wholly, totally, absolutely, by nothing merited in the recipients of God's selection, but it was only His own sovereign, holy, just, immutable, irrevocable will that He pleased to choose some unto His own self and pass by the others of that lump of Adam and leave them to their own will, leave them to their own deserts, and that they would get just what they merited. But grace moved upon a multitude which no man could number, and He wrote their names in the book of life, and they are surely and certainly in time being brought to His Son Jesus Christ. God had a purpose in grace, and that was choosing His own. Jesus Christ declared in John 15:16, "You have not chosen Me, but I have chosen you and ordained you." The fact of the matter is that not even one human ever could nor would have chosen Jesus Christ. If grace had not intervened, mankind had been left to their own will, then it would have been hell for every descendant of depraved Adam. Not a single solitary one would have ever set a footprint in heaven. But instead, each soul of every man and woman upon God's earth would have indeed perished in the flames where the worm is not quenched and where the fire dieth not. But our God in His grace, I don't see how anyone could ever see salvation anything but grace. I really don't. What does man that think we are? What does man think about himself? That would move a holy, a wise, a pure, an immaculate God to be mindful of the worms of the earth. What about it? Friends, if their being was in any wise to affect the God of the universe, He would be repulsive unto Him instead of drawing unto Him. For we have all sinned and come short of His glory and stand condemned and guilty outside of Jesus Christ. Mankind is dead in trespasses and sin, according to Ephesians 2:1. And the Word of God declares that the light did come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil, John 3:19. God's grace was purposed in salvation, settled in eternity by recording their names in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, according to Revelation 17:8. And my dear friends, that never shall be changed. It is eternally set by God's grace. And my dear friends, it is praiseworthy that we be thankful for God having a purpose in grace. Then we must also be appreciative and thankful for God's prevenient grace. I don't know a whole lot about theology. I honestly don't. But I've come across that term a few times. And it's my understanding that it is God's grace before saving grace. That it is His watch care. That it is His protection. That it is His charge over angels to look after us and to keep us and to preserve us until the time that He had appointed that grace be made real in our lives when we were born again. And I know that Hebrews 1:14 speaks of some angels. How many? I don't have any idea. God has an innumerable host of them. And we just studied this past Wednesday night about Jacob's dream. And how that as he laid his head upon the pillow, he saw the angels of God coming up and down, up and down, up and down, from heaven to earth. They go before God and He gives them a command and they go and accomplish it. And as soon as they get done, they go back to get another one. They're just coming up and down, doing what God told them, going to the earth and coming to heaven, going to heaven, coming to earth, doing what God told them. And Hebrews 1:14 said, "Are they not all?" Now that's a lot, folks. You tell me how many an innumerable host is. And I'll tell you how many angels God has watching after us. I'll tell you how many. If you can tell me how many innumerable hosts are. But are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be? Did you understand it's in the future at that point? Who shall be heirs of salvation? God granted and gave charge to angels through His and by His grace to look after us and take charge over us before the time that He saved us. And we learn from John, 1 John 4:19, what? That we love Him because He first loved us. And that is prevenient grace. That's the before we ever knew anything about it. My dear friends, we cannot indeed recognize how God's grace was with us. But I can look back through my life in the hours or days or years before God saved me, and speaking as a man, because of the infirmity of my flesh, if not yours. But I know that there were times that were it not for God's grace working in me before He saved me, I wouldn't have ever been there when He did save me. His charge was looking after me. I can remember doing things that not only were dumb and stupid, they were dangerous. They were all of those things. And I put my life in that standpoint on the line, so to speak. But there was no possibility but what God was going to preserve me. And His prevenient grace was wrapping me. And there was no demons nor the devil of hell himself that could ever effectually rail themselves against me, for God's grace had chosen me. He had a purpose in saving me, and my name was in the Lamb's Book of Life, and there must come that hour when God would come and cause me to know that His grace had been revealed to me. Precious Lord, if we could only be thankful for what I may term purchasing grace. You know, I'm thankful for planning grace and His purpose in grace and for His prevenient grace. But when I think about that purchasing grace, oh my soul, if that won't challenge you, if that won't exhort you, if that won't wrap you up, something's wrong, because you've lost sight of Him who loved you and gave Himself for you. You've forgotten that you've been purchased and bought and washed, and now you do not remember that purchasing grace. We know in purchasing grace, it was that grace which brought our precious Lord and Savior to this earth, that moved and motivated Him to leave all the glories of heaven, that majesty and honor that was given to Him to come to this earth. The perpetual praise and worship, the sweetness and the harmony, and all that He enjoyed in heaven, which no human tongue can never tell. And He came to this earth. But more than that, when He came to this earth, He was ripped of the majesty. Oh, as He was in heaven, my friends, we may say indeed, that the very universe itself would be wrapped around His head, and the vastness of the endless universe shroud about His shoulders. He came to this earth in the form of a servant, made of Himself no reputation, took upon Himself the likeness of our sinful flesh, the condescension in the purchasing grace of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can hardly fathom what it must have been for Him who owned the cattle of 1,000 hills to be laid in a manger in a stable. To Him who had been robed, as He were, with the glories of heaven itself to be wrapped in swaddling clothes. To Him before whom all the universe that knew and recognized bowed, paid homage. And the very holy angels of God would gladly say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts." And see now, He who created the universe held in the arms of His mother Mary. See Him as He grows. See Him as He is hated without a cause. Him who was so loved. His daily, His Father's delight. Now He is ridiculed. mocked, scourged, put to open shame, lied about. Oh, my friends, despised and rejected. A man of sorrow who was acquainted with grief. We hid our faces from Him. The purchasing grace of God in His Son coming to this earth. Be thankful for God's grace. That's just the beginning of it, isn't it? Because go to that place we call Calvary and see the purchasing grace of God. Look upon Him if you dare. See Him. Where are the stars that were about His brow? Now there's the crown that pierces Him with thorns. See the blood as it flows from the wounded, torn, tattered, lacerated body of the sinless Son of God. The purchasing grace of God. Be thankful. Be thankful to see Him there who was equal with God. One now who is made to be sin, who knew no sin. One now who willingly bears our sins in His own body on the tree. I know of no better way to describe to you grace than to point you to Calvary. God's grace is displayed on the brow of Golgotha as no other place. Friends, if you can't see grace there and be thankful for that, you don't know grace. You don't know pardon from your sin. Jesus Christ hangs between heaven and earth and He takes the hell for our sins which we justly deserved. God's grace. Not only so, but He lays down His life. The grace of God as that body was taken down, prepared for burial, laid in the tomb. Stone set, sealed, guard placed. And for 3 days and three nights, nothing happened. But the grace of God. He arose. He arose. Victorious. And do you know God's grace tells us that since He lives, we're going to live also. And just as surely as death has no power over Him, it'll have no power over us. God's grace. Be thankful for it. I got to go on because of time. I'd like to stay there a while. Because that's God's grace. But we must also be thankful for God's pardoning grace. That grace which purchased us must be brought into reality in our life. We must come to the point where we know God's grace. Experimentally. In reality. That Jesus Christ died. Grace, grace, yea, grace. But oh, that grace that brought it to me. Ephesians 2:8, we know, don't we? For by grace are you saved. Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. It says a lot more than anybody ever been able to preach. I'll tell you that right now. Grace. Grace and pardon. Our God brought it to our reality. And there she stands forever. Everything about our salvation is all and totally and completely by grace. I have no more deserving of grace or salvation than any other one. But it was God who separated me from my mother's womb, who revealed His Son in me. And I must ever tell of how He saved me. His grace moved in me. He made me willing in the day of His power. He it was who called me. And He it was who quickened me. And He it was who washed me. He it was who regenerated me. And everything about it was grace. And grace alone. Be thankful for God's preserving grace. What a mess it would be if men were left to themselves. Even after we were quickened. We were a horrible mess beforehand. But we'd be in a terrible mess if we were not preserved. And we're preserved by grace. Do you know it is God which worketh in us both the will and the do of His own good pleasure? That's grace. You know the Apostle Paul? Where am I at? Well, that's about an hour short.
An hour wouldn't touch it.
You're right, brother, but I'll try. I'll get closer. I'm kidding. I know. I don't know where I was at. Must have been talking about grace. Old age, I think, best I can remember. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." And he goes on saying, "His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all." Then Paul, Spirit of God, broke and pierced, and he said, "You know, that might sound a little bit like you did it yourself." So cold, Paul, I could almost see a tear come to his eye when he realized, well, almost, how in the world? And then he says, "Yet not I. It wasn't me. I didn't do it, but it was grace. But the grace of God which was with me that enabled him to do what he did in serving God that preserved him, it was the grace of God." As we live and as we fail in our battles against sin, we must be ever thankful to our God for His preserving grace. And then I go to this one and quit. We must ever be thankful for God's presenting grace. He's not going to leave us here. Even in His grace, Jude says He's going to present us faultless before His throne with exceeding joy. And I'm looking forward to that hour. You get over into Romans 8, 29 and 30 and look at those five golden links of grace. And you'll find out that everything about it, from foreknowledge to glorification, is all by Him. And we're all the ones that were worked upon, not the workers. We're all the recipients and the workers worked upon. And it is all the action is in God's hand. And His grace moves Him to predestinate us to be conformed to the image of His Son and rejoice one day in heaven. If someone told me, "Gene, heaven is yours, all you got to do is get there," I could say, "Thanks a lot." What difference would it make? What difference would it make if it were not for grace? You can read all the splendors of heaven, but without grace to take you there, there's no joy unspeakable that's filled with glory. Thank God for His grace. May the Lord bless you.